needs a miracle this morning? Say the name of Jesus. Jesus is the name above every name. And I encourage you this morning, look away from the need and look to Jesus. Hallelujah, the author and the finisher of our faith. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. You are, hallelujah, the God of miracles. Father, you're our provider. So this morning, where somebody here, those watching, needs a miracle, we thank you. We speak the name of Jesus into that place. Just receive it right now. Put your eyes on the Master this morning in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you as Pastor Rodney is ministering the Word of God. Right now, I encourage each one of you to look to Him, look to the Word, look to the Father, and receive your miracle today. If you agree, hallelujah, say amen. Glory to God. You may greet one another this morning in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Welcome to those online watching. It's good to have you with us. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. What a beautiful Sunday morning. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, if it's your first time this morning, our website is blfc.church. Glory to God. And there you can find out more about us. Visit our past sermons. Visit our website, audio, video. Hear more about us. Praise God. Welcome to our first time guests this morning. It's good to have you with us. Praise God. Praise God. We are also on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram, more outlets on the way. Praise God. We believe in every available voice. We are getting the word out. The Lord, He has a message to get out to the people. And it's a message of healing. It's a message of redemption, a message of hope, so we can walk out our calling. Amen. Sundays, doors open at 9, pre-service prayers from 9:20 to 9:40. Service starts at 10. Come early for coffee, for fellowship. Wednesdays, Jesus the Miracle Worker Discipleship Course. What an awesome time we're having on Wednesdays. We will have sessions filled with teaching, discussion, activation, practical, hands-on ministry lab. And so on Wednesdays, doors open at 6. And we start at 6:30. And so come early as well for the coffee bar, for fellowship. And then on Wednesdays, we always have refreshments afterwards. Last Wednesday, thank you for all who came to our fellowship dinner. What a fun time we had. Thank you for the yummy food that you brought. It was so good. And for the time that you put in to that. And also, I want to put a save the date on your radar. June 17th is a Wednesday night, and we're going to celebrate Pastor Rodney's birthday, so we're going to have another fellowship dinner. So that'll be a month in between the two, but I wanted you to all put it on there. We do this every summer in June. It's his birthday, and it's a fun time, and so we just invite you all to come put it on your calendar, June 17th, and we'll have that at 6 o'clock as well. And so we encourage you, invite someone to church. Thank you for those who invited people to church. And we just, you know, pray about if this is the church the Lord has for you. We're a family here. This is Victory Life Family Church. And it's so fun to get to know one another. And here after the announcements, what the children's super kids will go ahead and go in there, birth through fifth grade, and we'll take the children in there as well. And so we look forward to that. We're expanding in the ministry with the children. And so we're thanking the Lord for the building He has for us. Praise God, we have the one room, but we know that as we're growing, we need more rooms to facilitate, to have the nursery, to have the children, to have the prayer groups. In fact, while I'm talking about this now, I'm skipping around, jumping ahead, but we have our vision brochures. And so Pastor Rodney will have this out. We'll put it up on the screen there for those of you online. But we have a vision. We're thankful for this place that we have here. It's a blessing. And then we have in front of us a church building. And then in that church building, we have classrooms, like I said, for the children's, the nursery, the prayer groups, the fellowship hall, because we know we like to get together and and enjoy each other's company and eat food, right? And so we're thankful for that. And so if it's on your heart, volunteering, come see us. We have openings right here, right now for the coffee station back there, for greeting, ushering. Let's see, what else? Worship team, children and youth ministry. And also, if you have a heart to lead a prayer team or a discipleship class, that's when we ask you, come talk to us and we will discuss those things. Friday morning prayer is from 9 to 10 right here in the sanctuary. So we invite you to come join us every Friday. We pray over the church and over the community. And so praise God as we are getting ready to do our offering this morning. If you want to turn to James chapter 2. And as you're turning there, tomorrow is Memorial Day. And so we want to honor those who have given their life and the line of duty for this nation. We live in a free nation. How many of y'all know? If you haven't gone to another nation, we don't even fathom what they have to go through. We have freedom here. We have the freedom to worship. We have the freedom to vote. That's why it's so important to get out and vote so that we can continue to have this, so we can continue to get the gospel out. And so we honor right now. We just have a moment of silence for those who have given their life for this nation. And we want to pray over right now those families. We're going to pray right now over the families that have lost loved ones or have sown their loved ones to have a free nation. Praise God. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up every family that, Father, that has had a loved one go on who have served in the line of duty for this nation. And we pray your peace. And we pray your comfort over them right now, over you watching, over those of you here who have had a loved one. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for ministering to each and every one. We thank you, Father, that you pour out blessings upon these households. In Jesus' name, what an honor, Father, as they have served. And we honor these families today and the men and women who have served this nation and given their life. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God. Freedom isn't free. Somebody had to pay the price. And so I want to encourage you, as we're grilling out and those things, you know, there's other people going to the cemeteries. There's other people going places that are missing their loved ones. And so I encourage you, pray over those families these next couple days. Give honor for our nation. And so as we're moving into our offering, James chapter 2, verse 14 through 17, and this is out of the Message translation. So probably most of you don't have that, but you could look it up on your phone. It's James chapter 2, verse 14 through 17. And it says, "Dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? For instance, you come upon an old friend dressed in rags and half starved and say, 'Good morning, friend. Be clothed in Christ. Be filled with the Holy Spirit.' But you walk away and don't even give them a jacket or a cup of soup. Where does that get you? Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense?" Wow, isn't that even what Pastor Rodney's been teaching us? And we know in James it says, faith without works is dead. So we need to put action to our faith. We can sit here and hear the word all day, and we need to hear the word. That's how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing. Amen? Praise God. But we have to have action with that faith in order to walk it out and see the results. And so by meeting people where they are and expressing real interest in their lives, we plant seeds of God's unconditional love and goodness in their hearts. So we can choose to be people of love and action by offering help to those in need. And you know, Jesus, he was not moved by needs, but he was moved by compassion. Mark chapter 1, verse 41 says, and so are we. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So as he leads us, as we're out in public, as we're out, just whatever we're doing throughout our day, and we hear the voice of the Lord, go help this person, smile at this person, give an encouraging word to this person, pay this person's groceries ahead of you. You know, whatever it is he says to do, we're obedient to do it. Amen. Praise God. And so this morning, we already went over the vision brochure this morning, and we know that we are, like I said, believing for a property and a building of our own with lots of room for growth. And so we have been doing the building fund, and we're believing for $5,000 to come in by the end of May. And so far, $2,175 has come in. Praise God. That's above and beyond tithes and offerings. And that's $2,825 remaining. So we're believing for that. Praise God. There's still time left this month. Mm-hmm. And you know, the building's coming. The Lord knows exactly what he has for us. It's not going to take long for all these seats to fill up and that room to fill up with the children over there. I can see that right now. And so praise God, it's happening and it's going to happen. And so as we're given this morning, there's an offering envelope in the seat back in front of you. Or if you're on the front row and you need one, please raise your hand. Online, the information is on your screen. If you're writing a check, please write it to VLFC. If you're giving by credit card, please put your name and address at the top. We have to have that as well as cash. And if you are also on the offering envelope, please write your testimonies and prayer requests as well. Say this after me. The blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more and more, us and our children. Seed, we speak to you. Produce a mighty harvest. We are getting our buildings, our lands, and all of our resources. We call every bill paid, every need met. We are furnished in abundance. Angels, go get our harvest and bring it to us. Double, 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 and double again. In Jesus' name, amen. You may receive the offering.
Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Pastor Paula. Amen. And you and your beautiful self this morning. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to see everybody here. Those of you in the room, those of you online, welcome, welcome, welcome. Praise God. Today is your day. Amen. Let's all say it together. Today is my day. Praise God. Amen. Again, faith without works is dead. We're not just here to read about miracles and admire the miracles. No, we're here to participate in a miracle. Hallelujah. And again, what we've been noticing in this theme on teaching about miracles is Jesus is always very interested, and Jesus is always working with the people, pulling faith out of them. Amen. So again, he's not just going up, hey, I'm Son of God, be healed, be healed, be healed. We're going to see something here today at the Pool of Bethesda. This place is full of sick people. Jesus does not go in there and just minister healing to every single person. He goes in there, he has to step over folks, gets to one man and ministers healing to that one man. Thank you, Lord. And now other times we see in these healing crusades that Jesus healed them all. Who was he healing, though? Those who were coming to him in faith and saying, Jesus, I know you can. I know you will. You lay hands on me. I'm going to be healed today. Amen. And they were, and they were, and they were. And yet we saw again many, many instances where Jesus is in he's in his own house teaching, you know, and the scripture says there was power to heal everybody present. And yet it took four boys, you know, to bring their friend to tear a hole in Jesus's roof and let their friend down in front of Jesus. And he was healed that night. No one else was healed. Why? They weren't there placing a faith demand on Christ, the healer. They all admired the miracle. They were all astonished at the miracle. but they did not participate in the miracle. The woman with the issue of blood, these are some of the things that we've been looking at here in these last few weeks. The woman with the issue of blood, she heard about Jesus. Someone came and preached the gospel to her and said, hey, there's a man out here, Jesus. And he's out here preaching and teaching, and then folks are coming up and they're getting healed left and right. Matter of fact, maybe they were one of them. And so they go and tell their friend, and this woman hears about it, and the scripture says she kept saying, 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 oh, if I can just get to Jesus, if I could just get to Jesus, if I could just run up and touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. Her faith, she had been rehearsing this, rehearsing this, rehearsing this. She's saying it, she's saying it, she's saying it, she's saying it. Jesus comes to town, and even though she's unclean and has no legal right to be in public, especially in a crowd, she runs in through the crowd, presses her way through, runs up, grabs his hem, and instantly she's healed. And then she's about to duck out, and Jesus says, whoa, 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 somebody touch me. And then the disciples are like, no, Jesus, what are you talking about? Everybody's touching you. He said, no, 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 somebody touched me. Someone had touched him in faith, and he says, I sense that power flowed out of me. And so he looks around to see who does it, and finally the woman comes and tells him the whole story. Now again, there's a crowd full of people. They're all touching Jesus, and nobody's getting healed. Why? He is Christ the healer. He has got the healing anointing all over him, but they did not make the connection in faith to say, in faith, I believe I receive. One person did, that person was healed. In that story, we also see Jairus, only two people received healing that day. The woman with the issue of blood, and actually his daughter was raised from the dead. And yet there's a whole multitude of people. So again, a lot of people recognize Jesus as teacher. They recognize him as preacher, but they did not recognize him and receive him as healer or even as savior. Those who did received. Those who did receive salvation. Those who did receive healing. Those who did receive whatever it was that he was there to offer. Amen. Praise God. So again, we're here today to receive from him. We're here today not just to hear about these miracles. So I want to share this over in John chapter 20. And again, we'll get to the notes in just a second. But in John chapter 20, verse 29 or 30, it says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Now, there are 37 distinct miracles in the gospel accounts. Performed through Jesus' hands. Of course, you go over to the Acts, book of Acts, you'll see a whole lot more performed through those ministers. But he says here, verse 31, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. John 21, 25 says, there are also many other things which Jesus did. Were every one of them written, I suppose that not even the world itself could contain the books that would be written about them. And just even off of these miracles, we've been preaching now for weeks. There's been many, 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 many books just even on these 37 miracles. Amen. Glory to God. And again, what's the purpose of putting it in the book? So that we'd believe it, so that we would also be able to have the same kind of faith that they have, so that we can participate in it. So in these miracles, we've been examining them one by one to see how it happened. Again, we know this. Jesus said, I only say what I hear Father say. I only do what I see Father do. He says over in John 14, it's not me. It's the Father in me. He's doing his works. So again, I'm not here as deity. I'm not here as Son of God. Oh boy, stand back. Look at me. I got the power. Whew, whew. No, that's not how it worked at all. He says, no, according to your faith, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Again, the one with the issue of blood, Jesus didn't really have any part in it at all. He's just walking down the street. The woman, it was 100% the woman. Jesus didn't have to minister her. He didn't have to pull faith out of her. She came in her faith, and she just reached out. She made that connection, and she received her miracle. Jesus really had no part to do it. He's just walking down the street. Amen. But what did he say? Daughter, your faith has made you whole. We saw here last Sunday, you know, the father comes to Jesus with the demonized boy, and he says to Jesus, "If you can do anything, have mercy on me." And Jesus is like, if I can do anything? He says, no, all things are possible to him who believes. This isn't according to my power. He said, it's according to your faith. Amen. Again, all things are possible, not according to my power. All things are possible according to your faith. Again, we started all this back in Mark chapter 11. We were looking at the example of the fig tree. Jesus over there in Mark 11, 22 uses as an example, and he says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Again, he's not saying have faith in my power as Son of God. He says, no, have faith in God. Well, what he's really saying is have faith in the word that God has spoken. Have faith in the word that God has spoken. And then he says in Mark 11, 23, he says, whosoever will say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and not doubt at all in his heart, but believe that those things which he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. In that one verse, Jesus mentions saying three times, believing once. So again, we know this in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Paul uses the salvation as an analogy to how faith works. He says in Romans 10, 8, this is the word of faith which we preach. What is that? He says, if you will believe in your heart and confess out of your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you're saved. You're saved. You are born again. You are a new creation in Christ. Something as miraculous, as wonderful, as awesome as the new birth, it was so simple. All you had to do that is believe that Jesus, you are the Christ, you are Lord. I confess you today as my Lord and my Savior. He says, if you believe that in your heart and now you've said it out of your mouth, it's done. In the Spirit, you're a new creation in Christ and all of heaven rejoices. Everything else comes the exact same way. I believe that Christ, you are my healer. I believe the word in 1 Peter 2:24 that says, by your stripes, I was healed. So if I was healed at Calvary, then I am healed today. And I believe I receive healing now. Amen. They all receive their miracles in the very same way. They believed the word they heard. They acted on that word and they received their miracle. Hallelujah. So today we're going to be looking at this healing at the pool of Bethesda. The title to today's message is, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Healing begins with a desire to be healed. Hallelujah. You've got to believe, I want to be healed. I want to be healed. And now I'm going to take steps of faith to receive my breakthrough. I'm going to receive my miracle. So Father God, we thank you for this word. And Lord, we're coming today to you in faith, not to admire the miracle, but Lord, to see Christ in this, to see our part in this, so that faith might come, that we might act on that faith and reach out and receive our healing, to receive our miracle, to receive our breakthrough, to receive our deliverance, whether that be in our body, whether that be in our soul. Lord, we receive that today. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Praise God. So I want to do this here now. We have our Bibles with us. Amen. In the room, online, let's hold it up big. This is my Bible. This is the living word of God. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do, and I will do it. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to start here today in this passage. We're going to examine the healing at the pool of Bethesda. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 15 says, sometime later, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool with five covered colonnades, which in Hebrew is called Bethesda. On these walkways lay a great number. say a great number. Of the sick, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed, for from time to time an angel descended into the pool and stirred the water. As soon as it was stirred, the first to enter the pool would be healed of his disease. One man there had been an invalid for 38 years. Say, that's a long time. When Jesus saw him lying there and realized that he had spent a long time in this condition, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm on my way, someone else goes in before me." Then Jesus told him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." Immediately the man was made well. He picked up his mat and began to walk. Now this happened on the Sabbath day, so the Jews said to this man who had been healed, "This is the Sabbath. How dare you? It is unlawful for you to carry your mat." Now, never mind this guy's been an invalid for 38 years, right across the street from the temple where this is. "No, what are you doing carrying your mat?" But he answered, "The man who made me well told me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" "Who is this man who told you to pick up and walk?" they asked. But the man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away while the crowd was there. Afterward, Jesus found the man at the temple and said to him, "See, or behold, you have been made well. Stop sinning, or something else worse may happen to you." And the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. So in this is a... I love this miracle, you know, and it's so fascinating to me. And there's actually a lot of history behind all this. And I love history. And I got the opportunity to go to Israel last December, as you most of y'all know, for I believe 8 days with Friends of Zion. There was 1,000 pastors that gathered over there, and we got to go to some of these sites and what have you. And I have it in my heart, and I believe it's of the Lord. I want to go back. And I want to go to the Pool of Bethesda. I want to go back to Shiloh and some of these places. And I want a video. I want to be able to take video and walk you through the history of it and walk you through the scriptures and actually teach on these things from that, but to be able to share in a lot more depth. Lord willing, here soon, amen, we're going to be able to do that. That's just on my heart. And Lord, I just thank you for it. Amen. That would just be awesome to me to be able to come. And I want to share that with you guys. Amen. I know we can't all get to Israel. I would love to have a church trip where we can all go to Israel, but I would love to go before us and be able to bring back these things and share it with you and the rest of the world, Lord willing. Amen. Praise God. But located in the city of Jerusalem is the Pool of Bethesda. It's right across from the temple. All right. It's just right across. In Jesus's day, it was a place of hope and healing for the frail and the sick. It's a place where people gathered and waited to receive a supernatural touch from the Spirit of God. Again, that they're waiting for these waters to be stirred. Again, why did this occur in this manner? I don't know. This is very unique. We don't see about this in any other time in Scripture where an angel comes and stirs a pool of water. You know, and we look at that word stirred, it's not just like there's a little bubbling. You know, there is a major agitation and a circular motion. And I would imagine when the angel steps down and stirs that water, it's almost like he's running through this, and it creates a big circle that's probably even splashing out of the pool. And then everyone knows, oh, that's time. Jump in. And whoever makes it in first gets healed. Amen. thank you, Lord. In Bethesda, there's this man who's been chronically sick for 38 years, who's been waiting to receive a miracle. What happens next that we're going to see today, it's not just about a physical healing. It is a confrontation with hopelessness, with his broken identity. It's cutting through his excuses and his long-term disappointment. And Jesus transforms this man, not just in his body, but in his soul, all in a moment of time. Amen. So first I want to look at today is, what is the Pool of Bethesda? And again, I believe it's important that we understand this environment. So understand this, actually on the back of this, and this is on your screen, I'm going to put it up as well, is actually a picture of what this would have looked like. Now, again, this originally was not the Pool of Bethesda. We don't know the original name of this, but this was actually created by the wealthy. Probably even also money from the temple may have went into this. And this was the elite, the wealthy, the intellectuals. They would have gone into this pool and used it for recreation. But beyond that, it was also a mikveh, they call it, where they would go in to be ritually cleansed. So before I can go into the temple, you know, I need to be clean, you know, especially for pilgrims and stuff like this. You could come in here, you could go and wash and clean, and then you can go up into the temple. Now, even at Jesus' day, the Pool of Siloam, so again, this had been taken over by the sick folks. The elite did not want to go here anymore because this place is crowded, it's jam-packed. And again, at some point, healing started happening in these waters. And I would imagine when that did, all of a sudden you're invaded with sick folks, and then the wealthy said, this is disgusting, I'm going to go someplace else. So they go across it over to the Pool of Siloam. Also, Herod had pools as well. And that's where the pilgrims would come when they're going to the feast. This is where the wealthy would go, even just for daily relaxation. All right. So again, by this time, the Pool of Bethesda is just basically an open air. It's not even a hospital. It's where people go to die. I'm going to die here, or I'm going to get healed in this water. And again, they are packed in. The Bible says there's a great multitude of them here. So again, Bethesda, looking at this, just actually kind of going back, this word pool in the Greek is actually the word kolam bethra. It means a pool. It's highly sophisticated. It is a beautiful, it is a developed place. Again, this was not intended when it was built just to have a bunch of sick folk laying around. All right. This was the place where you really wanted to be. All right. So, but also we see here at Bethesda, it's not one pool. It's actually two pools. You have a north pool and a south pool. And in between, there's a massive stone dam. So in the northern pool, you would have rainwater. There's actually pools of water from the Bethesda Valley that all through a hydraulic system actually fed into that pool. And then from there, it would flow down into the southern pool. So you would have, you know, actually there's a flow. It's not just stagnant water. Amen. So you don't want pond scum, right? You need water to flow. So thank you, Lord. Where are we at here? So again, it's we don't know the original name of it, but it is renamed by the sick folks Bethesda, which means house of mercy or house of grace or the place where God's grace and mercy is poured out. Again, there's five porches that surround this pool of water, all of which are covered with colonnades and porticos. We see all this because in the 19th century, excavations were done, which revealed basically, you can go with the bones of it are there today, but this is a recreation of what it would have looked like. Now, again, this was built upon all the way up until the 5th century by the Romans, who actually used this as a bathhouse. Right. So at some point, you know, like I said, things were added to it. Thank you, Lord. Again, Bethesda was the place of the excluded. John says on these walkways lay a great number. That word great number in Greek is the word plethos. It pictures people stacked on top of people. One sick person was next to another sick person who's next to another sick person. They would have hardly been able to move in this place. They're just jam-packed all around these pools. There very easily could have been 1,000, 2,000 people just packed in there. And again, this is walled in on all four sides. You have some open air at the top. I can just imagine the smell in that place. These people were not receiving baths daily. I don't know how they're able to groom themselves, take care of themselves. What do the restroom facilities look like? I have no idea, but you can imagine 2,000 years ago, all these folks packed in. And again, just the number of people, there's someone on average dying here at least once a day. at least once a day. And someone's got to come in here and help these folks, to get the sick folks out. How are these folks being fed? They're on some type of a welfare system that they're able to even go there. Otherwise, they would just perish. They cannot take care of themselves. Again, this place is filled with the blind. This word blind means physically and mentally. So I have physical blindness, but they also would have mental illnesses, things like this. The lame. So again, I'm missing limbs, or paralyzed. Huh. Thank you, Lord. This is a socially abandoned zone. So again, by Jesus' day, the rich folks have left. Bethesda was left to the desperate, to the unclean. But this is exactly where Jesus goes. He does not take the normal route that would take you. He really comes to, this is the back side of the temple. So he comes up the back side of the temple and he goes on assignment. Obviously, we know the Father led him. He goes on assignment. He's walking past and probably having to step over all these people to this one man. To get to this one man. John says there was one man there who had been an invalid for 38 years. This word had is the word echo, which means he was gripped, possessed, or held tightly. The infirmity didn't just affect him, it owned him. This infirmity, this whatever it was, this ailment, this invalid, it owned his identity. He's bedfast. He's obviously financially destitute. If you had any money, you wouldn't be here. You know, he's emotionally, he's depleted. Spiritually, he is exhausted. Again, he's been there so long. So again, he's been an invalid for 38 years. We don't know if he was there at the pool for 38 years. You know, it very well could have been. But he was there for at least a significant amount of time based off what he has to say. When Jesus sees him lying down there, Jesus is seeing not just his physical body that's broken, it's his soul, his hope. It's completely broken. It's gone. So in this, Jesus comes and does what he can do. Jesus, number one, he seeks him out. This man never calls for Jesus. He never calls for Jesus. And matter of fact, when Jesus shows up, it's not evident that he even knows who he is, right? He's just been in this place. He's been in this one environment all day, every day. He's sitting next to all of his sick buddies, and they're just talking sickness and disease all day long, sickness, sickness, sickness. How's it going today? Well, I'm a little worse than yesterday. How about you? Well, it's no better. You know, and they're just rehearsing their stories and talking about how bad it is. This is just the total environment. Again, the man never calls for Jesus. When he talks to Jesus, he doesn't express faith. Again, he doesn't even seem to know who Jesus is. But again, Jesus walks into this place to seek out somebody, to seek out someone who no one else even cares about. No one else wants them. No one is going and visiting them. No one, you know, again, someone's coming in distributing bread or something to them, I guess. You know, again, this is a multitude of folks. But we see here Jesus saw. This word saw really means he scrutinized him, he examined him, he took a long investigative look, or even better yet, he discerned him. Jesus is looking at this man, he's studying this man, and he discerns what's going on with this man. He sees, again, not just this man who's an invalid, you know, in his physical body. He sees this is a broken man who has lost all hope. He has lost hope. He's lost all faith. He has just succumbed completely to his condition. And again, when folks have been in an illness or an ailment for a long period of time, they come to the place where they're not even resisting it anymore. They, you know, you can talk to them. Yeah, I would like to be healed, but they've lost hope. They're not even exercising faith to be healed. They just become a part of this, right? This is a picture of what this man has come. And now Jesus asked him this question: do you want to get well? It might seem obvious, but it's really not. And literally what he's asking him is, do you really want your life back again? Now, I tell you this, in all the years of ministry, and again, before this, I had a lot of thousands and thousands of one-on-one ministry, specifically in the area of healing. And I can tell you this, not everybody wants to be healed. It may sound strange, But I had some of them specifically say, no, I want you to pray for healing of my headache. Now, originally, when I'm asking them, hey, what's going on? Well, I've got this and I've got that and da-da-da-da-da, you know, and they're giving you all this. I'm like, okay, so we're going to pray about all this. No. No, don't you pray about that. I want you to pray about my headache. I don't want to have any pain. Oh, come to find out they're on disability and they don't want to give up their disability. They would rather stay the way they are versus if I'm healed, I have to get up. I'll have to go to work. I have to take care of myself. I have to be a member of society. I might actually have to find out what the plan of God is for my life and start doing that. Instead, I would rather stay sick. I would rather stay in my own home and watch my TV shows and live off welfare. I'm telling you, it's like, okay, I'll pray for them and pray for their headache. You know, but again, Jesus asked the question, do you want to get well? Again, if you don't, you can stay right where you are. You can stay here till you die. You know, some people would rather do that. But he says to him, do you really want to get well? Do you really want your life back again? So again, this is not a cruel question. It's a diagnostic. Again, he's taking the man's temperature, so to speak. So again, Jesus asked this question to engage the man's faith and desire for healing. If you don't have a desire to be healed, then you're certainly not going to engage any amount of faith to hook up and receive it from him. All right? Again, the man has been in this condition for 38 years. And again, over this period of time, pain, this dysfunctional identity, it can become familiar to you. Survival just becomes a routine and hopeless becomes normal. Again, what we see here in Scripture, I have personally witnessed many, many, many times. People been in these conditions a long amount of time. And you can ask him a very similar question and you'll get the same response that Jesus gets here. Do you really want to change? Do you want to be well? Do you want to be healed? Do you really want me to radically transform everything in your life? Because if it is, I can't stay here. I can't hang out with these same buddies I've been, sharing this place with for all these years now. I'm going to have to get up. I can't be here anymore. I've got to go back. I've got to learn some skills. I've got to go function in society. Again, do you want to change? Now, Jesus asked him this is a very direct question, very simple, yes or no. Do you want to get well? What would you expect to hear? Yes or no? What does the man say? And again, I've had the same response in ministry a number of times too. And you're like, huh? He doesn't answer the question. He gives Jesus what he does not ask for. He gives him a story. He doesn't even hear the question. He's not even hearing the question. Oh, someone new to tell my story to. He's not even hearing what Jesus is really saying. He's been telling his story to everyone around him for however long. And again, he's rehearsed it. So again, think back to the woman with the issue of blood. She heard about Jesus. She had faith to be healed. And then she's saying it. She's saying it. This is what the scripture calls meditation. She's thinking about it. She's seeing herself through that word. She's seeing herself reaching out, touching Jesus' garment. And she said, if I can just touch his garment, I'll be healed. Oh, if I can just, and again, this is what's going on in her mind. And guess what? Her faith got so strong. She runs through a crowd. She runs up, she grabs her healing and she's instantly made well. This man, on the other hand, has been doing the exact opposite. Oh, I'm so sick. Oh, this is so bad. Oh, again, him and everyone around him is just rehearsing it. They're talking the problem. So again, what did Jesus say in Mark 11? Have faith in God. If you'll say to that mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, don't doubt in your heart, but believe what you say will come to pass. You'll have whatever you say. Whatever you say. Whatever you say. Yes, I can, but what do you say? Yes, Jesus is the healer. Yes, he's the savior. Yes, he's the provider. But what do you say? If I'm not saying anything at all, then I'm going to get nothing at all. If I'm saying what the devil has said, if I'm just talking about how big and bad and how impossible, how hopeless it is, you're going to stay in there. But if I'll start talking about how big God is, if I'll start talking about Christ, you're my healer. Christ, you're my deliverer. Oh, I want to thank you today that I'm healed. Oh, I want to thank you today I'm free. Oh, I'm free. Thank you, Lord, I'm free. Jesus said in John 8:32, you will know the truth. The truth will set you free. Amen. So you have to know it. You have to believe it in your heart, but you're going to have to say it out of your mouth. I'm healed. Oh, I want to thank you today. I'm healed. Amen. Glory to God. So again, this is not what the man does. What does he say? I have no man. I have no one. So again, the angel comes, he stirs the water. And if only I had a man who could pick me up and just throw me in there. He says, but I'm on my way and someone else gets there ahead of me and I'm just stuck. I'm just stuck. I have no hope. I have no hope because someone is faster than me. I'm an invalid. So again, he's having to scooch. He's having to crawl. He's having to do something. He just can't get there. All right. So again, this is what he starts saying, what he's been rehearsing in his own head for 38 years. He's explaining why he can't change, why it hasn't worked, why others get ahead, and why he's just stuck. This is what he has to say, even though Jesus asked him a very simple question. Do you want to be well? But he does say one thing right. He says, sir. That word, sir, is the word kurios. That word kurios translates as Lord, Master, or supreme authority. What this word really does, it gives Jesus permission to speak into his life. Now, again, he doesn't know Jesus as the Christ, but somehow when Jesus comes to him, he recognizes him someone as an authority figure, as a supreme authority, as a Lord, or as a master. That's why he uses this word kurios. All right. This gives Jesus, again, permission to speak into his life. So again, Jesus here, he cuts through all of this. And I'm telling you today, I've had to do the same thing because what I have found when I was in this, you know, a lot of one-on-one ministry with sick folks, you'll ask him a question and you'll start getting a whole story, what I like to call an organ recital. My heart, my pancreas, they'll just start telling you all of this. And this can go on for 45 minutes. I didn't ask for any of that. But you're getting all of this at some point. Okay. But brother, sister, we got to interrupt and redirect because this is going down the wrong path. We're just talking the fear, the doubt, the unbelief, the hopelessness. We got to cut through that mess with the word and get back in faith. So what does Jesus do? He listens to this for just probably a little bit. And then this when you see this is actually more, he raises his voice. He may have even shouted to the man just to get a hold of him. Get up, pick up your mat and walk. He gives the man a faith demand, a faith command. He gives the man something to act on in faith. Again, he speaks words of faith. The word says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Again, faith begins where the will of God is known. If I don't know it's his will for me to be healed, I'll never exercise any amount of faith to be healed. So again, once I know that, that's the beginning of it. Again, Jesus gives him a faith command, which we've seen throughout these miracles over and over and over again. Jesus speaks a faith command. He gives the person something to respond to. Again, this isn't all just about me and my power. I'm telling you what to do, and if you'll respond to it today in faith, you can be healed. So he tells the man, get up, take up your mat, and walk. All right? Amen. So again, he's having to cut through the noise and the excuses and gives him a faith command. This is shutting down that soulless realm. So again, man is a three-part being. You are a spirit being. You have a soul, which is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And at present, you live in a physical body. He speaks a word that goes right into the heart of that man, bypasses his head, injects faith into his spirit man, and the man doesn't even have a chance to let it even hit his head. He just responds. I've also seen what this looks like. We Paul and I, especially when we came from Texas out there in Fort Worth, we would go out on Friday nights. There would be a group of us, and we would go out street evangelism. And we'd also do this sometimes on Saturdays. We would go downtown Fort Worth. Again, a lot of people, and we would just start ministering to people on the street, especially on a Friday night. There's a lot of people. They're drunk, coming out of bars and all this type of stuff. We'd go out and minister to them, you know, and you would start just sharing the basic, you know, basic gospel with them. Not very long. Take them down the Romans road. You know, everyone is sin, comes short of the glory of God. Amen. You know, and all you got to do is believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. And again, you would do this very quick. And you could just see it in their face. And we understood what it was. What am I doing? I'm injecting the faith, the word of God into your spirit, man. And before there, and this is something they did not even have a chance in their mind to even reason out. What would happen is you would inject this in their spirit and say, all right, now brother, sister, or actually not brother yet. We would just say, pray this after me. And we would lead them in the prayer of salvation. And they would just most of the time just hook up and just pray the word of God with you. And then at the end, you would kind of see them start to ponder and start trying to think about what just happened. What just happened? I totally short-circuited your brain. I injected the word of God, which contains the faith of God, which is the power of God. The word says the power of God is the gospel. The word of God is his power. I injected the word of God that went off in you, and you just started responding to it before your brain had a chance to think about it. That's what happened to this man. Jesus just cuts right through all of that mess he's been going in for 38 years and says, get up, take up your mat, and walk. What does the man do? Before he has a chance to respond, well, can I? I don't know if I... He just gets up, takes up his mat, and he walks off. Amen? His brain did not have time to engage in 38 years of unbelief. The faith of God in a moment of time gave him what he needed in that moment to rise up and receive his miracle. Again, Peter walked on water on one word. Lord, if that's you, Peter said, command me to come to you on the water. Jesus said one word, come. Peter gets out of the boat. He walks on the water to go to Jesus on one word. But again, notice, Lord, Peter had realized this. That's why he used that exact terminology. Lord, if that's you, command me. All you need is a command. All you need is a word from God that will authorize you to go do this thing. Whatever it is, makes no difference. One word from God contains everything that's needed to bring itself to pass, even if it's to walk on water. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So again, one word from God, he obviously responds to it. What is interesting, this Greek word for walk means to get moving. It means to walk around, just walk around. It means it's in the sense of, especially as a proof of an ability to walk. So again, this word walk means to get up, get moving. It means to walk around, especially as proof of ability. It also means start living again. Start living again. Healing requires movement. Again, we've talked about this for a long time now. Faith is an act. Faith is an act. Well, if I have faith in my heart, prove it. Prove it. Again, Paul has shared that over in James. Prove it. You say you have faith. Show me actions that line up with what you believe. And now we can see faith in action. Again, this is what Jesus is always after. According to your faith, be it done unto you. Jesus will give you a faith command. What you do with it is going to determine your breakthrough. If he says to you, come, and you never get out of the boat, you're never going to see a miracle. If he tells the man, get up, take up your mat and walk, and the man says, well, I can't walk. He'll never walk. I've shared this before. Amy Simple McPherson, 100 years ago, she was at a meeting, you know, and there was a lot of miracles that took place in her ministry as an evangelist, as a minister. But in particular, there are four people in wheelchairs at one of her meetings. And at some point in the meeting, she goes and ministers to them and tells them, get up and walk. Immediately, three of them get up and walk. They're walking, they're out of there. She goes to this one lady who's in her wheelchair, and since she starts having a conversation with her, get up, walk. And the woman says, I can't walk. Don't you know I've been this way for all, I can't walk. And so she goes back and forth and ministers to this woman a little bit more, but the woman refuses. She stays in this place, says, no, I can't. No, I can't. No, I can't. She says, there's nothing I can do for you. And just had to leave her there. But and she's telling, look, these three people couldn't walk either. And yet they did. And she just stays in this place. So again, this man could have responded the way that woman did, or he could have responded the way these three people did. He chose to get up and walk. He chose to act on what he could not do. What is that? Faith in the heart. Again, faith is of the heart, not the head. If I'm in my head, I'm going to reason out why this can't be. But if I will respond, God, you said I'm healed by your stripes. So I choose to believe God. And because I believe God, I'm not going to act on the word and do what I could not do before. And I want to invite right now in this room, activate your faith. Activate your faith. Faith is an act. Faith is an act. Jesus gave this man a faith command. This word really is the word therapeo, healing or get well. Therapeo is the word therapy, where we get our word therapy. What is therapy? I'm giving you a command. I'm giving you a direction, and now you're responding to that. So I want to invite right now in this room, if you need healing, if there's something that's been going on in your body, right now is your moment to act. Right now is your moment to receive your healing. I want to invite you, stand up. If you couldn't stand, stand. If you couldn't shake, shake. Amen. Whatever you couldn't do before, maybe it's something you can't physically, do, but I want to invite you right now to come up here. I want to invite you to come up here and first off, do what you couldn't do before. Amen. But I want to invite you right now, come. If you need healing, come. Healing is here. Healing is here. Again, healing power is present. Who wants to respond? Who wants to respond in faith? Who wants to respond in faith? Today's your day. Today's your day. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Sister, what's going on?
I have lupus.
You have lupus? What's been going on?
It's an autoimmune disease.
Autoimmune disease?
That messes with your legs and your limbs.
Messes with your legs and limbs. Mm-hmm. Is there something that's limiting you? Is it pain?
What was it? In my legs.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Is the pain a constant pain?
Constant. Every day. All day.
Constant every day. How long has this been going on?
About 2 years.
2 years. All right. Amen. Is it hurting right now?
Mm-hmm.
No? Both your legs?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus. How about you?
Just life, you know?
Life?
Healing my life, yeah.
Healing your life.
Relationships and just mindset, everything.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. How about you?
Well, they said I had AFib.
They said you had AFib. Mm-hmm. All right. Is there something where you noticed that?
Energy.
Energy? Mm-hmm. Okay. Amen. How about you?
I want to walk and not feel dizzy.
Walk and not feel dizzy. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Is that something that goes on constantly, or is that just kind of come and go? Or?
Come and go.
Come and go. All right.
I want to fulfill my garden. I want to plant my garden.
Want to plant your garden?
I'm going to get up there this week and do it.
Amen. Yeah.
I feel I need you more energy as well.
Mm-hmm.
And but my back is, the bones in my back is just not cooperating sometimes.
Okay. You mentioned dizziness. Do you feel dizzy right now?
Yeah.
Okay. You feel dizzy right now. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Well, here's what we're going to do. Don, yes, sir?
Legs.
Legs?
Knees.
Knees.
And ankle.
Is it something that's going on right now that you can notice?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, we're going to do this, and I believe that's what the Lord would have us do at in this. It's good to hear from him. The word tells us over here in James chapter 5. He says here in James 5:14, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith, that word prayer really has to do going back to a faith command. If we will command healing in the name of Jesus, he says, this will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, he will be forgiven. Amen. So again, we see with this man here, Jesus finds him in the temple, and then Jesus seeks him out and says, hey, I wasn't done with you. So man, the man got up so fast, he takes his mat, he runs off, and he runs over into the temple where he has not been allowed for 38 years. As an invalid with sickness, disease, or ailments, you're not allowed in the temple. This man shows up in the temple carrying his mat, and they're all aghast. What are you doing? Who are you? At the Sabbath, you're carrying your mat. Jesus seeks him out. He finds him and he tells him, hey, stop sinning. Now that you're healed, don't go back to where you've been. Don't go back to that former lifestyle. Don't go back to those sick friends. Don't get off over here into fear, doubt, and unbelief. You need to find a whole new purpose. You need to find a whole new way of life. Amen. And I would like to think that this man just started following Jesus from that moment. I believe I would. I'm sticking with the master. Glory to God. But we're going to pray over you in the name of Jesus. But here's your part. I'm going to pray in the prayer of faith, and I'm going to command healing into your bodies according to what the word has told us. Your part is to engage in faith and believe you receive it right now as we pray. Amen. So again, those of you in the room, I'm asking you to engage your faith. Those of you online, in the name of Jesus, as I'm praying over them, you receive your healing in faith. You receive your breakthrough in faith. The Lord is just as present there as he is here. There's no time or distance in the spirit. Praise God. So Father God, in the name of Jesus. Right now, I anoint this sister with oil, and even as you've given us command, I speak over her body. I speak to lupus. I speak to pain, and I command you in the name of Jesus, take your hands off of her body. I command you to leave. Don't you ever come back. And right now, we receive healing. We receive right now, her body is restored. We receive this truth that her joints are restored. Anything that does not belong, it is removed, and we receive all is well. All is well. Let's say it together. All is well. All is well. In the name of Jesus, all is well. All is well. So right now, what we're going to do, we're going to take a step of faith. We're just going to walk together. We're going to walk together, and we thank you, Lord. We are walking by faith. We're walking by faith. We receive free, free. Oh, we thank you, Lord, we're free. We're thank you, Lord, we are the healed. We thank you, Lord, we are the redeemed. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What's going on with your sister? Mm-hmm. What's going on?
Feel a little good.
You what?
Feel a little good.
You feel a little good.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Do you have pain right now?
No.
There's no pain right now. You had pain when you came up here.
Yeah.
But you don't have pain now. Where'd it go? You don't know. Amen. Jesus took your pain. That's what the scripture said. He took it. And right now he has taken your pain. And I want to give the same command that he gave you. Don't go back to it. Give the devil no place. Mm-hmm. That's not your pain. Jesus took your pain, and even today, he has delivered you from that pain. Don't go back to talking it. Don't go back to receiving it. That's not yours. Today's a new day. Today's a new day. Go forward in the faith of God. Come up here. Come up here. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Aha. Osti hale blish nose. English din kanda nose. Yes, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I break off. I break off every entanglement, every ungodly soul tie, everything that has tried to hinder, to hold back, to steal, kill, and destroy. Today, it's broken. Right now, it's broken off, and we release the love of God. We release the peace of God. We release the plan and purposes of God revealed, restored, made manifest. The scripture says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. God has not changed his mind. We receive that today. Today's a new day. Today, from this day forward, you're living a new life in Christ. From this day forward, you are free in Christ. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Just raise your hands. Just raise your hands. Say, thank you, Lord. I believe I receive my freedom.
My freedom.
My victory.
My victory.
And my new life in Christ.
My new life in Christ.
Today. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Today's your day. Today's your day. We're receiving healing today. We're receiving strength today. You said you came up here with dizziness. It's leaving you right now. It's leaving you right now. Clarity, peace, and strength. Is in Stanita. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we command it. We command dizziness, weariness, tiredness, whatever this attack is, we command you in the name of Jesus, take your hands off of God's property. You have no rights to be in her, on her, and you are gone. You are gone now in Jesus' name. We receive all as well. We receive the grace of God. We receive the strength of God. We receive the peace of God. We receive the clarity of God, and we thank you for it. You are full of life. You are full of energy. You can do all things through Christ, which is strengthening you now in the name of Jesus. Yes, you said you before you were dizzy. Let's walk together. Let's walk together. No dizziness, no dizziness, no weariness. Strength is coming into your body. Uh-huh. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Faith is an act. It's easy to receive. It's easy to receive. What's going on?
Feel some better.
You feel some better. Amen. Amen. You're getting better by the minute. You're getting better by the minute. You're free. You're healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. No more. No more. It doesn't matter whether it's been going on for 2 minutes or 38 years. In a moment of time, free. In a moment of time, free. Glory to God. In Jesus' name, be free. In Jesus' name, be healed. In Jesus' name, be loosed from every infirmity. From this moment forward, never again. We're not going back. We're not going back. We're going forward healed. We're going forward free. We're talking healing. We're receiving healing. Ha, 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 but it's still no, so free, free. Free in the name of Jesus, we break off every assignment, every lie, every strategy of the enemy. And from this day forward, your power is broken. Jesus is Lord. Jesus, the healer, is resident on the inside of you. And we loose him. We loose that healing power to flow freely throughout our body, throughout our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. We thank you for the victory. We praise you for the victory. Let's raise our hands together right now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the victory.
Thank you for
My healing.
Thank you for
My peace.
Thank you for my peace.
Thank you, Jesus. All is well.
All is
All is well. All is well in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Brother Todd. Healing. Healing has come. Healing is here. In the name of Jesus. Yep. Knees. Ankles, joints, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, that healing anointing is flowing. It's flowing from the top of your head, right down through your body, all the way through your knees, your ankles, the soles of your feet. Be healed. be healed, be restored. Right now, let's walk together. Let's walk together. Every step is a step of faith. Things are straightening up. Things are lining up. Pain is leaving your body. It's not coming back. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, we receive it. Huh. Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let's just walk. Let's just take a walk back and forth right up here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Huh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Jesus, you are the healer. Jesus, we give you thanks. Jesus, we give you thanks. Jesus, we give you thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What's going on? What's going on?
More satisfied, more hope.
More satisfied, more hope. Jesus restored hope to this man. Jesus restored this man's life. Every aspect of his life was restored. He is free to live his life. He's free to live his life whole and free. Restored back to society. Amen. He would have been an outcast. Now he's in the temple. Brother, what's going on?
Feels better.
Feels better. Amen. Feels better. Feels better. I want to encourage you. Sometimes healing comes instantly. Sometimes you don't see the full manifestation of it for a day or two or a week. Do not be defeated by time. The Word is working. The Word is working. The Word is working. The faith command has been released. You have received it. Hold fast to it. Hold fast to it. Say, the Word is working. In me. On me. For me and through me, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? You need healing. You need deliverance. You need a breakthrough. Today's your day. Today's your day. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Healed and whole. It's good to be healed, isn't it? It's good to be free. Thank you, Jesus. Well, glory to God. We have more notes. You can get them online. We're going to wrap this up here today. I want to invite you in the room. Let's all stand. Praise God. We shared the scripture with you earlier, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. The scripture says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. It's just that simple. The greatest miracle known to man. It's just that simple. Again, healing comes, deliverance comes, freedom comes, victory comes the exact same way. Whatever you need in Christ, you are free. But let's all pray this together. Those of you watching, you've got to say it out of your mouth. Believe it in your heart. Say it out of your mouth. So let's pray this together. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is your Son. Jesus, I confess. You are the Christ. I receive you now as my Lord, as my Savior, as my Redeemer, as my Healer, as my Provider. And I take it now by faith. And Lord, I receive this new life that you have for me. I yield myself to the Holy Spirit. Have your way in me, on me, for me, and now through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. We believe if you prayed that prayer for the first time, even according to the scripture, you are eternally saved. You're in the kingdom of God, and we welcome you as brother and sister in Christ. And I want to invite you, if you're in the Ogallala area, come and join us here on Wednesdays and Sundays. If you're somewhere else, praise God, we invite you to watch us online, but also go find you a local Bible-believing church where they're preaching and teaching the uncompromised Word of God, and go be a part. Go get in and be a part. In the meantime, know this, God loves you, we love you, and in Him, we are living in victory.